very advanced. And one of the things they did was build pyramids. Y'all have seen the pyramids. Very elaborate structures. And one pyramid was 475 feet high. 275 square feet was the base of it. It had 2.3 million stones, some of them 33,000 pounds each. They worked 20 years every single day, 5,000 workers every day for 20 years to build this pyramid. They would roll these stones on logs across the ground, across the sand, to build this pyramid. And inside of the pyramid is a tomb. It goes all the way down to the ground, the tomb of the Pharaoh. They had an underground lighting system. They would reflect light from the sun through bronze shields all the way down into the tomb under the pyramid. And on the walls, they would paint the army of the Pharaoh. They had shields and furniture and swords, all his fighting material, all his living material. Then they would embalm him. They would wrap up each finger separately, his whole body. They would take out his organs and put them in these little jars and embalm them and preserve them separately. Then they would put him in a coffin and put that coffin in the second coffin, and then he would lay down there because they believed that he was going to wake up one day. And when he woke up, he would have everything he needed to be Pharaoh. He would have his army, he'd have his furniture and everything. So I have two questions for you. One, how much do you believe in the afterlife? And how do you know how much you believe in it? It's based on what you do. Now, not one of you would climb on this building, if I can get you to the roof, and jump off the building because you believe that there is gravity. And you believe 100% that gravity would take you down and splash you on the sidewalk. Can I get an amen? But yet none of you have ever seen gravity. How many of you have ever seen gravity? No, you haven't. You only see what it does. You have faith. You are created as a creature of faith. And God has set you up in a world where you exercise faith every single day, all day, every second. How many of you have ever seen oxygen? None of you. But yet you believe it exists. How many of you have ever seen love? None of you. But you yearn it every single day, all day. You want it to express towards you, and you want to express it to somebody else, but yet you need it, never seen it. By the way, love is an act of faith. When you say, I love you to someone, or when you express love to someone, you are trusting that they are going to love you back. And you are trusting that it's not going to hurt. It's an act of faith. That's the greatest act of faith. And God has set us up to live by faith, so when we learned about trusting him by faith, we know what that means. And when we learned about trusting him and loving him by faith, we would know what that means. So he created us in a way that would lead us right to him. So what do you believe about the afterlife, and how do you know? Now, some of you in here have asked Christ to be your Savior. And when you asked Christ to be your Savior, you said, I believe in God, and I believe in afterlife, and I believe if I die without Jesus, I'm going to go to hell. So you asked Christ to be your Savior. Fine. But that's only step one. Last week, we signed up 5,100 people to volunteer in ministries. Let's give those people a hand. Amen. That's a gang of people. Okay. Now, what we want to do today is now a few things. One is encourage those people. Keep going and let's go. Let's do it. We want to give 600,000 hours, when I say we, to Rock Church, 600,000 volunteer hours to the city of San Diego next year, mostly San Diego. We may do something outside of it, but mostly, most part, right here in San Diego. That's 50,000 hours of volunteer work in this building and outside the building every month, okay? We're going to do that. So we signed up 5,100 people yesterday as part of that. If you signed up, I want to encourage you to keep going. If you haven't signed up and you are a Christian, your first step of faith was you asked Christ to be your Savior. I don't know what your second, third step of faith is, but you probably read the Bible, went to church, you're here, or you're listening to this on tape. But the next thing you got to do is get equipped and then go out and do something. So we want to encourage you, if you haven't signed up, to go online and sign up and do something. Become part of the solution, and we're going to try to help San Diego. I met with the mayor actually Friday to talk about how we can give him 100,000 of those 600,000 hours. And they have a whole book, binder, that they gave me of all the volunteers' opportunities they have for the city. Now, they already have 30,000 people giving them 100,000 hours. I said, we just doubled it. You got 200 now. Okay. We want to administer that. They're trying to get a volunteer coordinator to hire. We're going to say, we're just going to do this. You don't have to do anything. Just point, tell us where you want us to go. So we want to give 100,000 hours to what he wants. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, so we're working on that. And some of the stuff we already do is in his plan. Matter of fact, one of the first thing he mentioned was cleaning up the city. because they don't have trash pickup like they used to. So one of the things we can do is have a cleanup day. You can clean up your own community. And we're going to probably have a cleanup day in Balboa Park. Balboa Park is 1,500 square acres. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So we're probably going to have a day where we just go down and have a walking barbecue where you have your ribs and chicken in your pocket and you just walk and pick up garbage. Okay. That's another story. So some of y'all say, all right, I already accept Christ, and you know, and it's okay. So prove that you believe that there's an afterlife, and prove you believe in the afterlife. The Bible talks about by going and doing something. Why? Because God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you a job to do in the spiritual realm. He did not give you the job just to get saved. Now he wants to use you so other people can get saved. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Some of y'all in here have never asked Christ to be your Savior. So if you believe in the afterlife, I would challenge you to believe in the afterlife, that you're getting your afterlife information from someone who's been there and came back to tell you. Because if you're just going, well, I feel, I think, ooh, be careful. You want to talk to someone who's been there. Okay, so if you're going to date somebody, you want to talk to someone who's dated, and preferably someone who's been married successfully. Don't talk to people who've messed up only. You want to learn from them because they can tell you what they did wrong, but you want to learn from someone who did it right. Can I get an amen? So remember, make sure you get your advice. Don't get your advice from television because that's not true. Get your advice from people who've done it. But my point is, if you believe in the afterlife and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I would challenge you to reevaluate where you're getting your information. I was talking to a person recently, a very educated person. They have their faith on God, their belief in God. And so I asked this person, what do you believe? And she was telling me this and that, this and that. I said, if I wanted to worship your God, how would I do that? Tell me. Well, you know, it could be whatever you want. I said, you're in idolatry. You just made this up, didn't you? You don't really have a God. It's just what you think. And I just need to tell you that if that's what you believe, I wanted you to be careful because you're going to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to believe something that you feel is right because it's convenient for you, because that's not what God is. Employment is not that. When you go to work, you can't say, well, I like this company, so pay me, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's not reality. Parenting is not like that. Nothing's like that. So why would God be like that? The whole concept of structure, we get it from God. So why would he be whatever? He's not. So in this story, we're going to look at these four friends who have a fifth friend who's paralyzed, and they want to get him to Jesus, and they work together to get him to Jesus. Now, there's two storylines in here. For all of you who are saved, I want you to be thinking about being one of those four people, that you are helping somebody bear someone's burden so they can get to Jesus. When you join a ministry and you serve, you are, in fact, bearing someone's burden. That's what it's all about. You're helping someone carry something they can't carry on their own. It's not just I'm volunteering. You are helping someone carry a burden. Now, if you're not a Christian in this story, I want you to think about making sure you get in front of Jesus, because he has something for you. It's really good, too. And it never wears out. It's eternal. It's called salvation, okay? And then all the fruit that comes with salvation. Let's read chapter 2 of verse 1 in Mark. It says, and again he entered Capernaum. Capernaum means village of Nahum. After some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Everyone say, Jesus in the house. Okay. It says, immediately many people gathered so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Now, the reason the house was full is because the word went out about he was there. Now, if you think about it, Jesus raised the dead. People wanted to be around him. Healed the blind. People wanted to be around him. Healed the lepers. Woman had an issue of blood. All the stuff he did, he healed all these people. So people said, we want to be around that guy. And the Bible says that the common people, which is all of us in here, say, I'm common. They're not the religious stuck-up people. Doesn't mean the religious people weren't common, but the Pharisees, the educated, the people who thought they knew better, they looked down on Christ. They all criticized him and tried to catch him in lies and him making a mistake about this, making a mistake about that. They were in the house too, but the common people loved to hear him because they wanted what he had. They wanted hope. So he's in the house, and the Bible says he preached the word to them, which basically meant he talked about himself because he was the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and then it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means Jesus is the red letters and the black letters. Someone say, why has it got to be black? just is. So from, some of y'all just getting that, but that's okay. You'll get it driving home. How many of y'all have friends that laugh, but they laugh, but nothing comes out of their mouth? They do this. From the very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, to the very last verse, that's all Jesus. But it's not all of what Jesus is. He's more than that, but all that's Jesus. Okay, it all talks about him. It's all about him. Okay, look what it says in verse 3. It says, they came bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, the house was full of people. People who wanted to be healed, people who wanted to be encouraged. They heard about all the things he did for people. And here's this guy, he's paralyzed, he cannot walk, and he cannot get to Jesus on his own. There are people in your life who, they need help. They need to be encouraged, they need opportunities, they need to be blessed. You are the only Bible they will ever see, or you may be the first Bible they will see. They watch you every day. They watch you react to criticism. They watch you react to gossip, pain, victory, being promoted. They watch you and they judge you based on their concept of the Bible, and it's important for you to show them the Bible by reacting properly, biblically, all the time. And they watch you asking themselves, do I want to be a Christian based on how they live? Because of you. There are people who will not become a Christian partly because of your life. Because they watch you and go, I don't want that. Or if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want it. How many of you ever heard that, by the way? If that's what being a Christian, and sometimes there may be someone saying that because of you. Now, it doesn't mean that you necessarily did something wrong. It just means there's something about what you did they don't like. And it could be that you say you need to read your Bible and Jesus is the only way. They may not like you for that. Well, that's true. So there's nothing you could do about that. But there may be some other things you do that are sinful or inappropriate that turn people off. You need to be aware of that. Okay? So here's this person paralyzed. They can't do something for themselves. You have people in your life who cannot do things for themselves for whatever reason. It's not necessarily physical. They're emotionally distraught. They're financially strapped. They don't have opportunities. They don't know about the Bible. They don't know a church where they can go, and they don't know how to, do I just walk in? What do I wear? They have these questions. You know, or maybe they have, maybe someone in their family died and they're just mad at God. They just want to talk to somebody about it, but they don't know how to bring it up. They don't know who to bring it up to. You are that person. And so you have to be praying about, Lord, who do you want me to help? Now, when it comes to being involved in a ministry or helping part of the 6,000 hours, you need to ask this one simple question. What kind of people do you want to help? Let me give you an example. Some of y'all have a burden for abused women because your mom was abused. Now, it doesn't mean you don't care about anybody else. It means that's where your burden is. And guess what? That is exactly how it could be. Y'all, nobody can help everybody. Nobody can help everybody. God's going to give you a very specific burden for a very specific type of person, potentially, as part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all going to do one specific thing, or maybe two specific things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, new has come. And Christ has given us the ministry or service of reconciling people to him, and the message, the gospel, to reconcile people to him. He's given that to you. And the Bible says that he is pleading. Everyone say plead. He is pleading with the world through you. He wants to help somebody. There is no instance, not in the history of the planet, where Christ lived in someone and didn't want to help someone through that person. That never happened. Because Christ would have to deny who he is. And so in you, he's shaped you, and through your experiences and gifts, he's saying, here's who I want you to help. Somebody out there that God has for you to help. And it may not be just one individual, but a type of person. He may want you to help kids whose parents are poor. He may want you to help alcoholics. He may want you to help women who are bulimic. Whatever it is, you need to ask God, God, who do you want me to help? He will show you. Don't get caught up in organizations. I want to work for this organization. I want to do this ministry. Get caught up in who those people are helping, because it's about the people. And it's about God using you the way he designed you to use you. By the way, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says that if we honor God with our possessions, and this is not only financial possessions, just all opportunities we have, if we honor God with our life, he will bless us where our vats will overflow. It's symbolic of everything where you hold all your goodies, you have so much of it. You have more friends you can handle. How many of you have more friends that you can visit and spend good time with? How many of y'all want some more friends? Really? Well, we're going to hook you up just to, before you leave here. I got more people. Man, I wish I could spend more time with this person or family members. I got cousins I haven't seen in decades. God will give you more opportunities, more joy, more resources than you can handle. God has not given you all the things he has given you for you. And all your clothes you have, they're not all for you. Well, who are they for? For me. You need to give them to me. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't have bought it in the first place. Can I get an amen? It might have been for the person who was in line behind you. The only reason you bought it because you didn't want them to get it because it was the last one. Can anybody relate what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You saw that. Yeah, women are like sharks in the store. Na 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 na. There was one of the. We had some kids pray yesterday. About 10 teenagers. One kid came up. I think he was 11, and he was praying. And he said something like, "Dear Lord, thank you for everything you've given us." And he said, "No, everything you let us borrow." So I asked him, "Could I borrow that line?" Matter of fact, if anyone knows who that kid is, I want to meet him. I'm going to talk to him again. I didn't know him. But everything God has given you, he's letting you borrow. Because when you die, you can't take it with you. And he's letting you borrow it so you can use it for him. Doesn't mean you can't wear the clothes. Doesn't mean you can't spend the money, but it's all about him. And so my point is that God has given you a burden for somebody. If you ask him, he'll show it to you. And God has given you resources for that somebody, and that somebody exists. Maybe it's when you watch Cops. Does anybody watch Cops or Lock Up, those shows? Does anybody watch those shows and just it hurts you? Anybody? No? Yes, very good, very good. It's interactive. Let's interact. Okay, very good. That's it. That may be it right there. You have a burden for those people. Okay? That may be it. Go pursue it. So here's what happens. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men. Number one in your notes, identify a specific burden you want to help someone carry. This is your ministry concept. What burden do you want? Don't just go do ministry just to do it. Who do you want to help and how you want to help them? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Go help somebody carry a burden. Number two in your notes, identify a friend you can serve with. You never have to do anything by yourself. Matter of fact, if you're married, how many of y'all are married? How many of y'all want to be married? How many of y'all glad you're single, don't want to have nothing to do with being married? Take your spouse. Do it together. Take your friend. You don't got to go by yourself. You don't have to go by yourself. I'm scared. What if they don't like me? What am I going to say? I don't know. What you need to do is take a friend with you and just say, we're just going to go check it out. We're not making any commitment. We'll go check it out and go and learn. We challenged the people last week to pick three or four ministries this next 30 days and go to a ministry every week and just check it out. Experience a few. See what you like. Don't feel like you got to be the perfect volunteer the first day. Well, here's what the Bible says in verse 3. It says, they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they couldn't get in the house. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through the roof, they let him down on the bed which the paralytic was lying. Now, and Jesus is on the first floor in this house. The roof had these beams. If you look above you, you see these gray boxes. They're really called clouds. Okay, there's 12 of them. 12 disciples, 12 months, 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, however you want to do it. There's a bunch of 12s in the Bible. And just imagine that those gray clouds is mud and straw. That's the roof. And then the black are the beams. So what they did is, in the first century, they would have a staircase on the outside of the house, and they would go on top of the house and chill. They, you know, look at the stars, get a tan, watch the movies, whatever they did up there, and they would go up there and hang out so you can get up there. So they said, we're going to take Here's a paralytic on the ground, and they're thinking, how do we get him to Jesus? Write down Hebrews 10:24 says, we have to consider one another, how to stir each other up unto love and good works. In other words, we have to think, how do I help my friend? I really need to think. One of the best things you can do when you witness to somebody is not tell them anything, just ask them. Ask them how you can help them. Don't tell them. Just ask. Learn. Get to know them. Think. Strategize. Because everybody doesn't need the same thing, the same way. And so what they did is they put the guy down on the ground. I wasn't there, but I'm just guessing. They carried him up to the front door, and it was full, the house. So they put him on the ground, I'm guessing, and they went over and started to strategize. How do we get him to Jesus? Because that's ultimately where he needs to go. And one of the guys says, why don't we take him on the roof and dig a hole in the roof? We'll figure out where Jesus is, and we'll dig a hole right where Jesus is and lower him right down where Jesus is. Now, the guy in the mask going, you ain't taking me up there. And they're like, you're going to go wherever we take you. Look at your notes. Spend time planning ahead and thinking out the box how you will carry someone's burden. My point is this, is that y'all have ideas. How many of y'all idea people? Very good. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. All of you have the ability to have an idea. It may not be a good idea all the time, but you have an idea. If you were to get with two or three people, you would have more than two or three ideas. You would have 20 ideas, and you would come up with even a better idea. Now, I am an idea king. For real, that's what, I have ideas. But I'm going to tell you, the ideas that I have, which are many, always 100% get better when I share with other people and they share their idea. Always gets better. I never have the best idea. Not that the other person has the best idea. The best idea happens when those ideas come together. There's a new Sprite commercial where these people run into each other and they splash into water. Have anybody seen that? Has anybody not seen it? Dang. I'm the only person that watches TV. Okay. These kids are in the park and they drink Sprite and then and they run at each other and they go, bam, they high body five, bam, and they burst into water. When you put two ideas together, you get 20. If you say, okay, we want to do this ministry, I got an idea to help somebody, or I want to go be a part, you get some people together, all of a sudden, now that you have ideas, you feel a whole lot more confident about doing it. Here's a guy on the ground. They said, we're going to take him upstairs, we're going to dig the roof. Look what it says next. It says, verse 4, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So they dug the roof right in front of Jesus. The stuff starts falling on him. He's teaching a Bible study. Stuff starts falling down on the people. And here comes this guy upside down on the cart saying, what's up, y'all? And look what it says. Jesus says, verse 5, when Jesus saw, everyone say saw. Say saw. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, your faith is forgiven. Now, I can see what your faith does or doesn't do. And let me say that again. We can see what our faith does and doesn't do. It's obvious. If someone believes that smoking is bad, but yet they smoke, they don't really believe it. Okay? So we can see if someone believes in Jesus, but they don't trust him, they don't really believe him. So we can see what your faith does. Jesus says, he saw that faith. He sees stuff we can't see. He can reason, he can hear what you're thinking in your head that no one else can hear. Your faith is evident by what you do. Oh, foolish man, do not be deceived. Faith without works is dead. If your faith is not causing you to do something, you don't have faith. So if you say you have faith, the only way you know it, the only way is by what you do. So Jesus is seeing them. He's saying these guys were thinking way out the box, and they had courage, and they went way out on a limb for their friend. How far out on a limb are you willing to go for your friend or for you? So they lowered this guy down. Look what it says in verse 6. Some of the scribes, were the religious uppities, were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, thinking in their head, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, many you may talk to people and they'll say, Jesus never said he was God. Well, beside the fact that Jesus did say he was God, he said he was God in many different ways, in addition to explicitly saying, I and the Father, my Father and I are one. He said he was God in more powerful ways by doing it. I could sit here and tell you I am God. That means absolutely nothing. One of the first things you might say is prove it. So what Jesus did, instead of saying he was God all the time, he just proved it. He just proved it and let you draw your own conclusion. So he walked on water. Who can walk on water? He healed blind people. Who can heal blind people? Raises the dead. He is going to forgive sin. You can't forgive sin. You can forgive someone for sinning against you, but you can't forgive their sin where God doesn't hold them accountable anymore, but God can. So he says your sins are forgiven. And look what it says in verse 6. The scribes were sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak lies? Only God can forgive sins. They were right. So guess what? Jesus knew that. So he's saying, only God can forgive sins, so I'm going to do something only God can do, and what y'all going to do about that? That's what he was doing. And that was his strategy. It wasn't like, I'm God. Well, anybody could say that. What he did is he proved it. And he did all these things that the religious knew only God can do. And then in verse 8, he says, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he says, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? The other thing he did is he read their minds. Have you ever been thinking something in your mind? Imagine if you were thinking something in your mind about someone that you're standing in front of, and they looked at you and said, why are you criticizing my shirt in your head? Wouldn't that freak you out? Wouldn't you not want to be around that person anymore? You would say, how do they do? Jesus says, why are you thinking that? Is it when after he rose from the dead, doubting Thomas says, unless I see his hands, unless I touch the nail print, I'm not going to believe. What happened? 8 days after he rose from the dead, they're in the house. Jesus walks through the wall. Okay? Or he appeared and said the door was closed and he was in the room. All of a sudden he was in the room. And what did he do? He went right over to Thomas and said, Thomas, I heard you talk. These are my words. I heard you talking trash about me. These are the Bible words. Touch my hand. So Thomas is thinking, how did you know I was saying that? I'm God. I know everything. So Jesus says, I'm going to forgive sin and I'm reading your mind. Who can do that y'all know? Nobody. What does that mean? I'm God. Look what it says in verse 9. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and take up your bed? But that you may know that I am the man, the Son of Man, and that I have power to forgive sin, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. Now, here's a guy laying on the ground. These guys, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I see your faith. Your sins are forgiven you. And these guys over here say, he can't do that. Why are you thinking about that? Okay, watch this. Get up. Now, here's what he didn't do. He didn't throw holy water on him. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't speak bada boom, bada bing on him. He didn't do smoke. He didn't dance around, throw bones on him. He just said, get up. Now, if the guy doesn't get up, Jesus is, you know, he's a fraud. Jesus says, get up. The dude got up. Look what it says. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and walked out from the presence of them all. How many of y'all know who George Jefferson is? Well, let me say this. How many of y'all do not know who George Jefferson is? You don't know who George Jefferson is? He'll raise your hand real high. Go ahead. We're not going to laugh at you. We're just going to go, what's wrong with you? Y'all know the Jeffersons, George Jefferson walking like this? Okay, that's George Jefferson, okay? I wasn't there. But imagine this guy crippled. He gets up and walks out the house like that. George Jefferson had a wife. What was her name? Wheezy. That was her nickname. Her name was Louise. They called her Wheezy because she had asthma. That's why he called her that. That's real. That is real. How many of you know that's real? Right, he did. He says, why do you make fun of me? You know I have asthma. That's why he calls her Wheezy, because she's... I have asthma. I wheeze as well, so I understand. Look at number four in your notes. You need to deliver the person to Jesus. In other words, when you serve somebody, feed them, encourage them, get them a job, do whatever you got to do, but make sure sometime in that process they know that you are motivated by Jesus and that you want them to know Jesus. Why? You do not want someone to have a job and yet go to hell or be happy and go to hell. Motivational speaking is great. When I go to high schools, that's what I do because I can't do to preach the gospel, but that's only part of the process. You want to make people have an opportunity to know Jesus. What this guy did is that when he was lowered, his friends went through all of that drama because they knew if they could get him to Jesus, Jesus would give him something he couldn't get anywhere else. Forgiveness, eternal life, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness. And that him walking out of that house was only the beginning of his new life. Now, there's two groups of y'all in here. Some of y'all in here who need to go volunteer. Go volunteer. Be one of these four people. There are people in your life, many, who are trying to carry a burden, and many of them are acting like they're doing just fine. But they're not. And God will show you that they're not. And God will give you the patience and the love to very gently and lovingly let them know you want to help them. You need to do that. That's why God's showing it to you. It's not like a good thing you could do that'll be a really good thing over and above the top of your life. That is what you're supposed to do. Okay? That's why God brings them into your life. Because he knows he's given you something to give to them. So some of the things you have put on the physical, some of the, we use clothes for example, some of those clothes you have possibly don't belong to you. You are borrowing them. You wore them once and you won't wear them again. I'm a stereotype male chauvinist thing. That's a woman thing. You wear something once. Can't wear it again. They saw me already in it. Well, wear it somewhere else when no one's seen you. But if you don't wear it again, well, somebody else can use that. Well, that is also true with everything else you have, both physical and non-physical. The encouragement you have. Some of y'all have been through hell and back, and you have an experience of victory over hell. Can I get an amen? Don't you know that that experience can really help somebody else? Don't waste it. Don't waste it on you. You don't need it anymore. Polish it off and give it to somebody else. Partly that's why you went through it. And when God was getting you through it, he was getting you through it with an unspoken agreement that if he got you through it, you would pass it forward. That's what's true. I mean, that's true. So there's one group of y'all. There's another group of y'all. You've never asked Christ to be a savior. You're the guy on the mat. Not that he wasn't saved, but you're the guy on the mat. And God is saying to you, I want to forgive you. You have to accept me. Now, God does not forgive everybody that he loves. He only forgives the people that ask for it. Now, he loves all of you, but he's not going to forgive you if you don't ask for it. And you have to ask for it on his terms and surrender your life to him. If you don't, he won't forgive you. You will die and go to hell. Go, God loves me. True. So I'm going to heaven. No, you miss a step. You got to submit. Oh, I've submitted. Now God's going to bless me. No, you got to obey. And part of the obeying is serving people. But the first step is saying, God, forgive me. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, maybe today is your day to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to walk like the paralytic. In other words, I want to have a whole new life. Walking is not only physically moving your feet and your body following you, it's how you conduct your life. I want to walk with God. I've been walking with myself. I want to walk with God now, and I want to start by surrendering myself to God and allowing him to be my leader, my master. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you for this story. We thank you that the paralytic didn't have to give you money to be saved. He didn't have to earn a degree. He didn't say anything that we know about anyway. He just believed. And he trusted you by faith that he would not be embarrassed in front of you. Lord, there are people in this room who they need to carry someone's burden. I challenge them to go on the website, take a spiritual gifts test, find out what their gifts are, and find out a ministry that they can serve in so they can help carry someone's burden. But Lord, there are also people here who need Jesus to forgive them. They've never asked you to be their Savior. They believe you love them. They believe you have a plan for their life. But they've never asked. They've never surrendered. They want to do that today. If you believe Jesus died for your sin, you believe that the penalty of your sin is death, which is what the Bible says, we're all going to die. But you believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. The book of Romans tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If today you would like to express faith in Jesus, pray this prayer with me. In the bottom of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe you love me, that you died for my sin and rose from the dead. I believe you have a plan for my life. I believe you have the power to make that plan happen. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord and my God. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer and if you're saying that you want to give your life to Jesus. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life. You are acknowledging that by faith you gave your heart to the Lord, and you're going to stand by faith, not worrying about what anybody thinks around you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, by faith, I want to, like that paralytic, stand up and acknowledge my faith in Jesus. Stand to your feet right now and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. 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 God bless you.